Is Sutter Health Field the new Great American Small Park? Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here with your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at TroyBBaseball, and I am joined, as always, by Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on X at DrewCrabtree12. Thank you for joining us today. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live and when our live stream goes live on Saturday. Just put the poll up right before we started recording this for the choice of games on YouTube. So make sure you go let your voice be heard. Let us know which game you would like to watch on Saturday along with me. If you're listening on audio, give us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk, and make sure you check out the First Pitch newsletter. Link for that is in the description. In today's issue of the newsletter, we talked about how the Atlanta Braves and Philadelphia Phillies series has delivered as expected to this point so far. Kind of. So make sure you check that out today because it is a good one. It is free to subscribe to the newsletter, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscribers as they help keep the bills on around here. And on today's podcast, we're going to talk about the Athletics ballpark they're playing in this year and how the scoring has just come in abundance. And we're going to kind of compare and contrast that with the Tampa Bay Rays park that they're playing in this year, because both teams are playing in minor league / spring training parks. And the Tampa Bay Rays is not having as much scoring as the Athletics park. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Cody Bellinger and some wings. So I think that'll be a little fun one, but we'll get to that in a bit. How are you doing this morning, Drew?
Not too bad. It's been a busy week already. In the wonderful Crabtree household, but you know, we're getting through and we're here.
That's awesome. Glad to hear you're doing good. And busy weeks are sometimes good, sometimes bad. Hopefully it's the good kind and the week's flying by and it'll be the weekend before you know it. But we've got baseball each and every day of the year, except for the All-Star break, of course, for the remainder of most of the year. And that was no different yesterday as the Cardinals and Pirates got things kicked off. They went 13 innings, but the Pirates won that one 2-1. Pirates moved to 5-8. Cardinals fall to 5-7. Marlins at the Mets. Max Meyer has just completely turned around the trouble that he had in his outings last year, and he has been fantastic at this point in the season as the Marlins shut out the Mets, and Meyer held the Mets hitless until the fifth or sixth inning in that one. Marlins win 5-0 and move to 6-6. The Mets fall to 8-4. New York Yankees at the Detroit Tigers. Max Fried and Jack Flaherty matchup delivered as we expected it to, and the Yankees win that one 4-3. Fried is now 2-0 with a 1.56 ERA, and boy, oh boy, could the Atlanta Braves use him in the rotation right now. Yankees are now 7-5, and the Tigers are also 7-5. Texas Rangers at the Chicago Cubs. That one did not turn out as expected. There was a lot more scoring in that one for the Rangers than I expected there to be, at least. The Rangers take that one 6-2 to move to 9-4, and the Cubs fall to 9-6. The starters got the decision on both sides. Molly moves to 2-0 with a 1.32 ERA, and Shota Imanaga falls to 2-1 with a 2.7 ERA. Padres at the Athletics. Padres win that one 2-1. They were the first team to get to 10 wins this season. They are now 10-3. Athletics fall to 5-8. Orioles at the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks demolish the Orioles 9-0. Brandon Fott gets the win, and he is now the only starter in the Arizona Diamondbacks rotation to have an ERA below 5, as he is now 2-1 with a 3.5 ERA, as the Diamondbacks move to 7-6 and the Orioles fall to 5-8. Speaking of 5-8, the Reds lost to the Giants in a walk-off fashion yesterday, 8-6 in 10 innings. Giants are now 9-3 and Reds are 5-8. Drew, how bad was it?
You know, for the first five innings, we were feeling good. It was great. The Reds put up a five spot in the third and then decided that was enough baseball. They needed to get back on the plane to Cincinnati to face off against the Pirates. Now, like, the So Tito Francona is a great manager. He's a Hall of Fame manager, but he's made some interesting decisions thus far. And giving Nick Martinez, who's already shown that he can blow up, as long of a leash as he did, was pretty disappointing. He gave up four runs. The Reds gave up four runs in the sixth. I think the last run was off of a reliever. But when you get into extra innings and you're on the road, you got to score. You have to score right away. With that ghost runner on second, if you come out of the top of the 10th without putting up a run on the scoreboard, you're going to lose. It also helps when you leave up a pitch to Wilmer Flores, and he launched it into McCovey Cove. So it's disappointing. Taking 2 out of 3 again in San Francisco is not the end of the world, but you know, that sweep would have felt so much better. But they're off today. They got the Pirates this weekend.
They can't hurt you today. And speaking of sweeps that would have felt so much better, the Nationals did not complete the sweep over the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers won that one 6-5. The Nationals battled, though, man. It was a good game. I did catch the last few innings of that one. The Dodgers moved to 10-4. Nationals fall to 5-7. And it was a good back-and-forth game. The Dodgers put up 4 in the first. The Nationals came back with 3 of their own in the first and then 2 in the third to take a 5-4 lead. But then the Dodgers pushed 2 across in the 7th to take the 6-5 lead that held until the end. Good game there. The Dodgers are now going back home after going 2-4 on their road trip, only taking 1 of 3 from both the Phillies and the Nationals. Do with that information what you will. Houston Astros at the Seattle Mariners. Astros lose 7-6. This one, second game in as many days to culminate in a walk-off walk. And this one, where the Cleveland Guardians won 1-0 with their walk-off walk. The Mariners, of course, won 7-6, as I said. But it also was the first time in Major League Baseball that a player hit a grand slam earlier in the game. And that grand slam came from Randy Arozarena, put the Mariners within 1 run. They eventually tied the game, and then Randy Arozarena took the walk-off walk. And that is the first time ever in a game that a player has hit a grand slam and took a walk-off walk. Craziness in baseball as usual. Mariners are now 5-8. Astros are 5-7. White Sox at the Guardians. Guardians win that one 3-2 to move to 5-6. White Sox fall to 2-9. Blue Jays at the Red Sox. Blue Jays win that one 2-1 in extras. Jeff Hoffman did good things as usual. I miss him. He's 1-0 now with a 1-2-3 ERA, and the Blue Jays move to 8-5. Red Sox fall to 6-7, and the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. contract is now official. It took a few days, but it is now official, and he's also getting a $325 million signing bonus that will be spread out over the 14-year length of the contract, and he is a Florida resident, so there are no state taxes on that $325 million signing bonus. So good on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for getting paid. All to 7-4. Philadelphia Phillies at the Atlanta Braves. Game 2 of the best series of the week. And it the starters were magnificent in this one. Both starters allowed no runs combined, which is just the complete and total opposite of what we expected from that start, especially compared to what Chris Sale and Zach Wheeler did in game 1, which was also the complete and total opposite of what we expected. But the Phillies did take this one 4-3 on a late go-ahead home run in the top of the 9th from Trey Turner. The Phillies are now 8-3, and the Braves are 2-9, and the Phillies now hold a half-game lead over the New York Mets for the lead in the National League East. Twins at Royals. Twins shut out the Royals and win 4-0 at Kauffman Field. The Twins are now 4-8. The Royals are 6-6. And finally, the Colorado Rockies hosted the Milwaukee Brewers, and they played a pretty generous host because the Milwaukee Brewers put up 17 runs on the Colorado Rockies there at Coors Field and won 17-2. The Brewers are now 7-5. The Rockies are 2-9. Any final thoughts on the rest of the games from yesterday, Drew?
Thanks for nothing, Colorado. Four errors, though? Goodness gracious. You know, shout out to the Blue Jays. They are riding. Well, they've got right now they have the longest win streak in Major League Baseball at 3. Well, they're tied with the Brewers at 3. You know, we're going to get to it later, but they're playing for that four game sweep today. Also, you see what happens? You're on the road, you're in extra innings, and you score. Good things happen. It's crazy.
Good things happen when you score in extra innings. Also, I did, before we get into our originally planned discussions for today, when you were talking about the Reds, I thought about this, and I meant to ask you then, and then I forgot. But do you expect Terry Francona to have a good tenure with the Reds, or with his age and, you know, he's been a manager for quite some time. Do you expect his tenure to be more like Tony La Russa's with the White Sox of late?
I'm hoping. It's more of a hope that he'll get back to everything. There were some years where Terry Francona had slower starts, and he's obviously learning the players and everything like that. But you do also have to remember that the Reds have given him an onion and a moldy lemon to make lemonade with because they refuse to spend money. So he's still trying to figure out how to make a winning ball club out of Ellie De La Cruz and a bunch of guys it is what it is at this point. I definitely didn't go into this expecting Terry Francona to struggle. And to this point, you know, it is, most of it is still the players need to execute. I will say, however, when he came over, he probably should have brought his own base coaches because J.R. House and Caleb Cotham are making some brain dead decisions. But it was also the help of the Giants making some brain dead decisions on the base paths yesterday. It was incredibly weird. There was like second and third and no outs, and the slowest player in baseball decided to test a routine ground ball to Ellie De La Cruz. I'm like, dude, you're better off just running straight at him. When it comes to the Reds, I'm not as worried about Terry Francona as I am about the Castellinis being fine with another 75 win season, because they don't care about winning baseball. Every win is in spite of that inner ownership group. If the season ends disappointingly and they fire Nick Kroll, they're going to find somebody else that's going to have to make do with their $5 budget, and then we'll just rinse and repeat. So I think that Terry Francona will get everything heated up. The Reds are still dealing with issues in terms of injuries, so I'm not too super worried about it. But, you know, it's a long season. I still have faith in Terry Francona. They just need to catch fire at some point.
Yeah, Francona won, as everyone knows, Francona won a couple of World Series with the Red Sox, and of course he led the Guardians to the World Series in 2016 that they would eventually drop to the Chicago Cubs in the curse in Chicago. But yeah, Francona is certainly a Hall of Fame manager, and it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. I think he will be better than La Russa was, because I know he's old, but I don't think he's as old as La Russa and as set in his ways and as old school as La Russa. And so I think he will be better than La Russa was with the White Sox. But yeah, like you said, it's a long season. There's still a lot of baseball left to play and to find out for sure how that will turn out. But we kind of know how some things will turn out for the Athletics this year, at least at Sutter Health Park, because to this point in the season, through six road games, there have been 70, sorry, six home games, there have been 70 runs scored between the Athletics and their opponents at Sutter Health Park. 70. That's an average of over 11 runs per game combined. And of course, you compare and contrast that with Steinbrenner Field, where the Rays are playing right now. And they've had 8 home games, and there's only a combined total of 54 runs scored, which is less than 7 runs combined per game. So is Sutter Health Park the new and improved Great American Small Park? Like, what are we looking here with Sutter Health Park, Drew?
They don't have the cool power stacks in center field, so no. I do think that there is obviously the level of competition that you have to think about. They played the Cubs for 3. They played the Padres for 3, and those are 2 of the better lineups in baseball right now. You know, they gave up 28. They gave up 35 runs to the Cubs in that 3-game sweep while scoring 9 themselves. I think that a lot of it is just the fact that the A's are kind of meh. But they also ran into 2 really good lineups. you know, you can compare it to Great American Ballpark, and Great American Ballpark had 1 ridiculous game, and that was obviously that 17-run 14-3 Reds win. But it also did have those 2 1-0 games. I think that the dimensions of their field versus the dimensions of Great American Ballpark are pretty similar. But I do think that the competition level of the pitchers, most notably like the Reds lineup rotation versus the A's, as well as the lineups that they're facing, is probably the biggest difference. And they'll probably end up still leading the league in runs scored at home and so on, just because they're not a super great pitching rotation, but they've got a couple of bats. But I'm not going to overreact too much about it. But it does make for some fun baseball. Lots of runs means lots of fun. And, Rob Manfred hates baseball, but he likes scoring.
Yes, you're right. And there has been a lot of that at Sutter Health Park. And, you know, you bring up a good point about the competition that they face so far with the Cubs and the Padres. Whereas on the other hand, we're comparing and contrasting with Steinbrenner Field here, the Rays haven't really faced that great a competition at that park. They've hosted the Rockies for 3, the Pirates for 3, and the Angels for 2 so far. And while the Angels do have Mike Trout and Logan Ohapi has been fantastic for them so far this season, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Colorado Rockies, they don't have really anyone offensively that you expect to do much. And so that also plays into it, as well as the dimensions, which you brought up, and I do have the dimensions pulled up for all the fields, even Great American Ballpark. But for Sutter Health Park, the dimensions are as follows: 330 to left field, 403 to center field, and 325 to right field. And then, which is pretty close to Great American Ballpark, because Great American Ballpark is 328 to left field, 404 to center field, and 325 to right field. And then for Steinbrenner Field, it's 318 to left, which is not far off from Tropicana, 408 to center, and 314 to right. And then another thing to remember with Sutter Health Park is, yes, it's a minor league ballpark, but it's in the Pacific Coast League. And as far as minor league leagues go, that is the most high scoring league in minor league baseball. You have to take a lot of the stats that happen in the Pacific Coast League with a grain of salt because of how high scoring it is. Like, if you see a guy that's hitting 380 with 40 home runs, you can't expect that to translate over to Major League Baseball, the major league level. Or if you see a pitcher who has an ERA of 450, he's probably better than that. Especially if it is only 450 in the Pacific Coast League, he's definitely better than that, and he should do pretty well at the major league level. So that's a couple of things to keep in mind with Sutter Health Park. But yeah, you're spot on, man. It's there's been a lot of scoring, and Rob Manfred loves scoring, and there are people out there who watch baseball for the scoring and the home runs, and chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think it'll even out eventually when they start facing off against the lineups that aren't nearly as potent as the Cubbies and Padres, considering those are two of baseball's hottest teams right now. Obviously, the Padres win in 10 games, the first team to do so. I mean, it's fun. They should have a baseball designated stadium in Oakland, because the Coliseum was yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I mean, scoring runs makes things fun. It's just being on the wrong end of those blowouts, it kind of takes a lot out of you, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. And just looking ahead here at some of the series that both of these teams, the Athletics and the Rays, have coming up at those ballparks that they're playing at this year. The Athletics don't get much reprieve from facing offenses that are high-powered, as they have the New York Mets coming to town next over the weekend before they go on the road next week. And then they come back in 2 weeks with the Texas Rangers, another high-powered offense. But then after that, after the Rangers, the weekend series following that is the Chicago White Sox. So they get a little bit of reprieve in 2 weeks, in two weekends, with the Chicago White Sox coming to town. And then the series after that is the Mariners. And then probably another one of the most must-see series of the year, easy for you to say, is a weekend series where Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees are going to be at Sutter Health Ballpark. That one is from May 9th through May 11th. I'm going to have to stay up late for that Friday night game, because that game is at 10:05 p.m. seeing Aaron Judge just hit piss missiles out there at Sutter Health Ballpark is going to feed families.
They got a lot of runs in their future. Oakland still deserves better.
For the Rays, they start facing some more high-powered offenses coming up. After today's game against the Angels, they do still have 1, 2, 3 series at home before they go on the road again. And this weekend, it's the Atlanta Braves coming to town after the series that is seeming to be getting them back on track. So that'll be a fun one. Then after the Braves, early next week is the Boston Red Sox. And then after the Red Sox, a 4-game set with the New York Yankees coming to town. So, the Rays are going to be facing some more high-powered offenses coming up. So that'll be something to keep an eye on to see if the scoring increases there at Steinbrenner Field, or if it kind of stays the same and it kind of plays how it has to this point, where teams just haven't combined for many runs. But out of those series, those few series we talked about, do you think it stays the same? Do you think that it, like, are you looking forward to Aaron Judge at Sutter Health Park?
I think at least for the A's, it's gonna probably continue. The Yankees are gonna tear up that ballpark. For the Rays, it's gonna be interesting. I think the Rays, just in general, are a better team than the A's.
Yeah.
But those lineups, especially with the Braves, it seems like are remembering how to play baseball finally. I imagine those numbers are going to start to tick up a little bit in terms of per game runs scored. it's fun. I love it. It's going to be a fun season for both of them. But I do think that it's going to end up leveling off here within the next couple of months. Same thing with Cincinnati, because those small ballparks are a lot of fun. Everyone loves them.
It's definitely gonna be fun to keep an eye on, and we'll certainly keep an eye on it here at First Pitch. And there's something that a Major League Baseball player needs to keep an eye on every day, and that's what food he ingests. Because sometimes, the food might taste good, but you might get bad chicken wings and it might keep you out of a ball game. And that is, in fact, what happened to Cody Bellinger the other day. He missed a game, and it was reported that it was because he had bad chicken wings the night before. So essentially while the Yankees are playing, he posts a picture to social media saying, going, essentially, not verbatim, going round two with a picture of another order of chicken wings. Now, I won't lie, I love chicken wings. I can get down on some chicken wings. Man, I eat a lot of chicken wings, but I don't know if I had bad chicken wings one night, I don't know if I could eat chicken wings the very next day. What about you, Drew?
The first time that I ever had Wingstop, I got wings that were undercooked. They were pretty much raw, and it took me a long time to trust Wingstop again. I don't know, man. I wouldn't go back to the same place at the very least. There's a reason I don't go to Buffalo Wild Wings. It ain't as good as other places that I can go. There's a place up here in Toledo that's legitimately a hole in the wall that have had some of the best wings that I've ever had. I love chicken wings. Like, I'll watch the Hot Ones YouTube series, even though I'm a complete wuss when it comes to hot sauce. Like, I'm watching them and I'm sweating. There's a restaurant chain called Quaker Steak and Lube, which is the weirdest name for a wing place, but it has this golden garlic sauce, which is boss. I love it. It is fantastic. And I've gone back to Wingstop because they've got some good stuff. I've never gotten food poisoning, thank goodness. But if I ever got food poisoning, I'm not going back for seconds, especially when the taste of, you know, the seconds coming back out is still in my mouth. Cody Bellinger is wild, man. Like, you going back for more? Yeah. I know the Reds were there was a little bit of food poisoning that ran through the Reds when they went to Milwaukee. Like, Terry Francona missed the game. There were some bullpen pitchers. Hunter Green was even sick. Which you made the comment, he pitches better when he throws up anyway. So it could have been a net positive if he had the throw, which is probably why he threw the almost complete game.
There it is.
Now we're just making stuff up, but I've had some wonky food and I haven't been able to go back since. I could not imagine going back the day after, especially while your team is playing. No, he's wild for that. I think he's just messing with us, but food poisoning is not fun.
Yeah, no, it's I don't think I've ever had food poisoning. I'm sure if I did, I would remember. But it definitely doesn't sound fun. But a couple of things you touched on there. The Quaker State and Lube. That sounds like a gas station.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that, like, Quaker Steak is an oil manufacturer or something like that, but it's literally called Quaker Steak and Lube, and it has the aesthetic is, you know, high performance racing and stuff like that. But they got wings, and they've got this one sauce. It's called Golden Garlic, and it is the best sauce that I've ever had, and I have yet to have anything that is close to it. I really like garlic, but yeah. No, Quaker Steak and Lube. I had it in Cincinnati and I had it in Columbus, but there isn't one up here, unfortunately. There's no Skyline up here either, but...
Do y'all have... I know I've asked you this before and I don't remember the answer. Do y'all have Zaxby's up there?
Zaxby's exists. I have not had it, though.
Now, they aren't the best wings I've ever had, but they are up there. But Zaxby's has wings and they are fantastic. I actually had some yesterday. Funnily enough, I had some Zaxby's wings yesterday. They are my second favorite. And then, of course, my favorite wings that I've ever had, kind of along the same lines as you, is a little hole-in-the-wall bar right around the corner. They have fantastic wings. All of their bar food is fantastic. Like, it's a hole-in-the-wall bar. They have karaoke on the weekends, which is why I go.
Love
and
it.
I always eat because their food is fantastic. I have yet to have anything there that I did not like because they have like these pulled pork nachos and the pulled pork is just delicious. Some of the best pulled pork you've ever had. And the wings are delicious. And I just got into spicy stuff like a couple years ago. I used to not ever eat spicy stuff. And so now, like, at Zaxby's, I get the second level of spice, the second highest level of spice, because the difference between that second highest level of spice and their spiciest is just freaking insane. And I can handle easily the second highest, but I've tried the highest, the spiciest that they offer. No, I couldn't even eat the wings. I was like, nope, this is not even enjoyable. This is not fun for me. I am not doing this. But all of this is to bring up the most important question of this discussion. Are boneless wings wings?
They're nuggets. But don't ask the Ohio Supreme Court, because they say that if you get a boneless wing, you should expect bones in them, which is the dumbest thing in the world. No, boneless wings and nuggets. I don't respect you any less for eating boneless wings, but they're not wings. They're nuggets. They're good. They're awesome. They're great to shovel in a bunch of chicken into your mouth. No, they're nuggets to me.
All that I eat as far as wings is boneless wings, just because I'm a little on the OCD side as far as like messiness goes. I'll eat ribs, but I don't like sauce on the ribs because you get messy when you eat ribs with sauce on it. And I used to work in for a pest control company, a termite company, and my manager and I would, at times I'd ride with him and go on jobs with him whenever I didn't have anything to do that day. And we'd go to he'd like to go to this local barbecue place and get ribs. And the first time we did it, I told him about me not liking to get messy and not liking sauce on the ribs or whatever. And he goes, do you think it's just going to explode whenever you try to eat it? And that's why I eat boneless wings all the time, because you get messy and I don't like it. I don't, and I've kind of passed that on to my son. My son's the same way. He's even worse than me. He doesn't like to get messy more than I don't like to get messy. And I kind of feel bad for him that I put that upon him, but it's just, I don't know what it is, but I just, boneless wings, man. I love me some boneless wings.
Hey, they're great. I still prefer the flats and drums. But that's just me. I just like pretending like I'm a caveman and I'm just destroying this animal that I've just hunted. But, you know, come to First Pitch for some chicken wing talk.
Yes, your daily source of chicken wing talk.
Yummy.
Man, I want some chicken wings now.
There's a restaurant up here that's locally owned, that's right next to University of Toledo. It's called Stubborn Brothers, and I've been told it has fantastic pizza. It has fantastic wings. And if there's a night that Rachel and I we need a dinner plan, I think we're gonna try it, because I've only heard good things about it, and I'm in for some good pizza and some good wings.
You know, I have found that pizza places do tend to have good wings. I worked at a Marco's Pizza at one point in my life, and their wings were fantastic. That's what I would eat whenever I was there for work. I'd make me some wings. Their wings were fantastic. They were on the bone. They did not have boneless wings, but I wouldn't put sauce on them. I'd just cook the wings and eat them without sauce. But and I also wanted to talk about Wingstop for a second. I don't understand the hype around Wingstop. I've had Wingstop many times, and it's never been good for me. I've never enjoyed it.
I mean, I like it. I'm not, it's kind of like how I am with film. If I get through it and I'm not dying, it's a win for me. So for me, Wingstop has a couple of flavors that I really like. They've got this real weird Hawaiian, that's like a pineapple-y barbecue. And it's super good. But I have a really low bar. If it's better than B-Dubs, it's a win for me. Because yeah. B-Dubs tastes, their wings are tiny and they taste like week old shoes. So
yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm not crazy about B-Dubs either. About the only thing I like there is their Southwestern Ranch. And I haven't been in a long time. I don't even know if they still have it. But I like the Southwestern Ranch just to dip the fries in. That's about all I like at B-Dubs. I like Applebee's, man. I don't know why people hate on Applebee's. You like Applebee's?
Applebee's is good. It's a nice little family sit-down, middle-class restaurant. It's great. There's an Applebee's in Lima that we would go to far too often. We close that baby down so many times. But no, Applebee's is good. It's, you know, you're not going in for a Michelin star meal, but it's also a lot better than what you're getting at fast food. So I don't hate it at all.
Yeah, it's we don't have an Applebee's close from where we moved a couple of years ago. There's not one close to us anymore, which my wife hates Applebee's anyway. But I love Applebee's, man, especially their cheese sticks. Man, I can get down on some mozzarella cheese sticks.
Mm-hmm. Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was 10 minutes of your daily source of food talk here on the First Plate podcast.
That sounds like a good idea. We're going to spin this off. Let's go. Right.
I don't even remember what got us. Oh, it was Cody Bellinger. That's right. Cody Bellinger got us on this conversation. But you know what? Let's get back to baseball, Drew. What do you say?
Yeah. What kind of fun foods are they serving at these ballparks? That's always a fun conversation, which is awesome. I love it so much. But, you know, let's actually talk baseball now.
Yeah, we should have that talk one day about the food at the ballparks, because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on this year with food at ballparks. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, there's not many games going on today. Only six of them. We've got 3 day games, 2 mid-afternoon games, and 1 night game. And not a single game on national television, which is stupid looking at the night game and the pitching matchup in the night game. Freaking stupid. Hashtag grow the game.
Rob Manfred just hates the Phillies. I think that might just be what it is.
That's what it is. It's very blatant and obvious, especially when you see how they've done in the playoffs the past few years. 1:10 p.m. Eastern, the Los Angeles Angels at the Tampa Bay Rays. Angels look to move to 8-4. Rays look to move to 6-6. Nothing really exciting in that one, other than the fact that it's at Steinbrenner Field. 1:10, also at 1:10 p.m. Eastern, Chicago White Sox at the Cleveland Guardians. Again, nothing exciting in that one. White Sox look to move to 3-9, while the Guardians look to move to an even 500 at 6-6. Twins at Royals, 2:10 p.m. Eastern. Bailey Ober at Michael Waka Waka Waka. Twins look to move to 5-8. Royals look to move above 500 and be 7-6 in that one. 3:10 p.m. Eastern, the Milwaukee Brewers at the Colorado Rockies. Brewers look to move to 8-5. Rockies look to move to 3-9. 4:10 p.m. Eastern, the first of really two games that are any kind of exciting, you know, on today's slate. The Toronto Blue Jays at the Boston Red Sox. And on one side, you have Chris Bassitt and his 1-0 record and 0.71 ERA. And then on the other side, you have Walker Buehler and his 1-1 record and his 8.68 ERA. And I got to be honest, man, I have not given up on Walker Buehler yet. I still think that Walker Buehler is going to have a bounce back season from the not good season he had last year when his return from Tommy John surgery. And it's just a slow start for Buehler. I still believe in Buehler. And then, of course, the nightcap, 7:15 p.m. Eastern for everyone except me because I'm blacked out. Jesus Luzardo, the Jesus Lizard himself, at Spencer Schwellenbach. Jesus Lizard has a 2-0 record, a 1.5 ERA. Spencer Schwellenbach has a 1-0 record and a 0.0 ERA. Phillies look to move to 9-3 and extend their lead over the New York Mets in the National League East, while the Braves look to move to 3-9. And try and gain some more ground and climb out of the hole that they have dug themselves to this point in the year. This right here, I said it the other day that it would not surprise me if this was the best pitching matchup of the series because of how these two pitchers have performed. I will also again say I did not expect Zach Wheeler and Chris Sale to perform as poorly as they did. But how good is this pitching matchup that we have tonight, Drew, between Jesus Lizard and Spencer Schwellenbach?
It is about as good as you're going to get. There are few elite pitchers in Major League Baseball that you really want to get up for. It's also very rare when you match them up against one another. This is going to be an awesome matchup, and yeah, it should be national television. What is Major League Baseball going up against right now?
Yeah,
March Madness is over.
Yeah.
People don't watch the NBA until the playoffs, and even then, it's going to be until the finals, unless LeBron is still in it. You're not competing against the NHL. Why don't you have a national? There should be one matchup on national television every night. Hashtag grow the game. You know, Jesus Lizard and Schwellenbach, two very, very good pitchers. outside of that matchup, because I know that we can definitely talk an hour about just the Phillies and Braves. I'm looking at both of those, the series right before them, to see if we're going to see 4-game sweeps. If the Brewers are going to do it against the Rockies, Rockies, just please put up a fight. I need you to put up a fight. And then the Blue Jays and Red Sox. Blue Jays they're leading the AL East. Like they're on a hot start. You know, Vladdy's feeling good. He's getting paid. I want to see what they've got. I want to see the Blue Jays actually do well, especially in that division between Boston and New York. Like they always do well. Yeah, Boston has had some bad years. New York was like 2 games over 500 and acted like the world was ending, you know, boo-hoo. I want to see the Blue Jays win that division. So I want to see if they can actually do it. It's a long year, and going up against those two massive markets, and those two teams is gonna be fun. But please, Rockies, put up a fight, and you know, go Blue Jays. See what you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree on all of that, especially the Jesus lizard part. You know, that might be another one of our shirts in the future. Just have a lizard with like a cross on it or something. We might get canceled. I shouldn't have said that.
You know, cancel culture doesn't exist. That's fine.
Yeah, but not a great slate of games today on the whole, but it is baseball, and we are glad to have baseball back, and any day is a good day when there is baseball involved, as always. And any day is a good day when you join us for First Pitch, and thank you for joining us today on the show. Crazy episode. I had fun with this one. I hope Drew did. I hope y'all did listening to it. But if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a subscription. Hit that notification icon so you can be notified when more episodes just like this one go live. And when we have our live streams, which the first one is coming up on Saturday for a baseball watch party. Make sure you check out the poll. Let your voice be heard. Make your vote count and tell us which one of the 3 games on the poll you would want to see on Saturday during the watch party. If you're listening on audio, give us a 5-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Tell them to go to First Pitch Podcast so they can get their daily dose of baseball and chicken wing talk. And make sure you check out the First Pitch newsletter. Link for that is in the description. Again, in today's episode, of the newsletter, talked about how the Atlanta Braves and Philadelphia Phillies series has lived up to expectations, kind of. So make sure you check that one out. Subscriptions are free. You can get that newsletter in your inbox every single morning, including game recaps on the weekend, though we do also appreciate any and all paid subscriptions as they help keep the bills on around here. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.